Monday, the 28th of April, 1913. Suspect Gant tells his own story, denies guilt, but is identified as man seen leading girl Atlanta Georgian. Monday, April 28th, 1913. The Georgian will pay $500 reward for exclusive information leading to the arrest and conviction of the murderer of Mary Fagan. James Milton Gant, accused of the strangling of Mary Fagan, was brought to Atlanta this afternoon at 4 o'clock from Marietta, where he had been under arrest in the sheriff's office since forenoon. Fearing a demonstration from the crowd that had been waiting at the Walton Street station for several hours, Detective Hazlitt transferred his prisoner from a Marietta car to a Decatur car and had him locked up in the police station before many were aware that he was in town. Gant, trembling and nervous, refused to talk at first. "I have nothing to say. Nothing to say," he repeated to the interrogations of the reporters. As Hazlitt led them to the police station, Gant glanced apprehensively around as though he were in fear of being taken away from the officer. When no demonstration occurred, Gant, recovering his poise in a measure, turned to the reporters and declared his absolute innocence of any connection with the gruesome affair, makes complete denial. "I know nothing about it," he declared. "Before God, I am innocent of the whole affair. I have not seen Mary Fagan for 3 weeks. I haven't seen her since I left the factory 3 weeks ago. I had known her about 10 months. I was at the factory for about 10 minutes Saturday afternoon, but that was all. I got a pair of shoes there that belonged to me, and left them in the near beer saloon across the street. Then I knocked about town during the evening and went to my home at 284 East Linden Street, about midnight. I was at home again Sunday night and did not leave Atlanta until this morning." Asked to explain his suspicious departure from town, Gant accounted for it very readily by saying that it was due to a previous arrangement with his mother, Mrs. Mary Louise Gant, to visit her today at her home near Marietta. He went there frequently, he said, and his visit there this time was to see her in regard to making his home there permanently. Threats of habeas corpus proceedings to obtain the freedom of Gant were made tonight by Judge George F. Gober, who is representing the accused man, and who also is a relative. The threats were made on the refusal of Chief of Detectives Lanford to give Gant an immediate preliminary hearing on the demand of Gober. Identified by police informer, "That's the man I'm quite sure that I saw holding the arm of a little girl on the street last Saturday night, and apparently leading her toward the pencil factory," was the statement of E.S. Skipper when he was brought face to face with James Milton Gant this afternoon in the police station. Skipper, who lives at 224-1, 2 Peters Street, had told the officers earlier in the day that he had seen three men leading a crying, unwilling girl down Whitehall Street and then over to Forsyth Street Saturday night. "Gant," he declared tonight, "looks like the man who had hold of her arm." E.L. Centel also faced Gant, but he stuck to his original story that Arthur Mullinax, one of his best friends, was the man he saw with the murdered girl. Centel added, however, that there were three girls in the party, and a man that looked like Gant was with the second girl. It was Centel's testimony before the police and detectives that made the evidence against Mullinax appear strong early in the day, contradicted by landlady. In striking contradiction to his statement is the assertion of Mrs. F.C. Terrell of 284 East Linden Street, where Gant said he slept Saturday night, that she had not seen Gant in 3 weeks. "I watched the Memorial Day parade in Atlanta," said Gant, as he sat in the Marietta police station, "and after the parade was mostly over, I went out to the ball game. After the game, I remembered that I had left some old shoes at the pencil factory and decided to go over and get them. I went over there at 6 o'clock, and Superintendent Frank let me in. He told the Negro watchman to help me find my shoes, and Gant tells his own story to the police. Both of them saw me get them and also saw me leave the building. Then I went back to town and met Arthur White, who was employed in the pencil factory, O.G. Bagley, an employee of the Atlanta Milling Company, and Bagley's brother. With them, I played pool in the Globe Pool Parlor on Broad Street until 10:30 o'clock, and then I caught a car and went home. Yes, I knew the girl. I knew Mary Fagan quite well, but I swear to you I had not seen her since I left the plant as an employee 3 weeks ago. I am innocent, and developments will prove it." Gant was arrested by Deputy Sheriff Hicks on the 1 o'clock car. He did not appear particularly nervous, and was confident that he would be able to demonstrate his innocence, but the detectives with him were equally certain that the slayer had been captured. A stenographer took a formal statement from Gant as soon as he was brought to the police station. In it, he endeavored to account for every minute of his time from Saturday afternoon until the time the body of the girl was found. Gant comes from a well-known Cobb County family, and several of his relatives were with him at the police station. Among them were Judge George F. Gober, of the law firm of Gober & Jackson, who is acting as legal counsel for the young man. W.A. Bishop, an officer of Marietta and a cousin of the accused man, was one of the party. W.M. Gant and J.L. Gant, Jr., cousins, also accompanied the prisoner to the station. G.M. Hicks, deputy sheriff and the man who arrested Gant in Marietta, came from Marietta with Detective Hazlitt. Gant's father, J.L. Gant, died 2 years ago. Ex-Representative Samuel R. McCleskey is an uncle of Gant. The young man is single and about 23 years of age.